Well, we're continuing on this whole series that we've been talking about is the parables of the king. And what we're really focusing in on is like when you get to know the king, you get to know what his reign and rule is like. You understand wherever Jesus is at, his rule and reign is there. And this whole year of knowing Jesus, where it's focusing in on him as king and us being his citizens, his children, the people under his rule and reign. So we're going to be talking about that. I want to start with a story first. Debbie and I, my wife, we used to go down to Bella Vista, Arkansas. And anybody knows Bella Vista, Arkansas? Most people don't, but if you do, it's actually kind of a resort little place, and it's surrounded by golf courses. And I'm what you call horrible at golf, and Debbie is slightly more horrible, but not much. Only because you can't drive, other than that. But the reality is, and their parents, her parents, my in-laws, they were probably equally bad. But what was fun is we're kind of even. So we'd go out there, and they had these beautiful golf courses we could just go to, sometimes two in a day, right? We could just go to golf courses. And I would go, and the problem was I would always get really frustrated, especially with Debbie's mom, but his dad too, because they had this thing called Bella Vista rules, right? And so if you've ever done golf, you have a scorecard that you're watching, and you keep your own score, right? And you keep your own score, and so you're trusting to get that score down. And here's kind of, I've not been able to figure out Bella Vista rules, but it's generally this. If you're in a bad mood and close to anger, you just change the rules. Like, you're frustrated with that drive, there's a new rule that shows up. You don't like that pond, you start the other side. You know, it's just, so all the time I said, now what are these? So, because here's the thing, I want the golf game to be fair. And I also want to win, right? I want it to be fair and I want it to win. Now, so in my mind, I think that as I look at that, I remember being on the course and not being able to see into the beauty because of how unfair this game was. And I finally quit scoring things. Now, I think this is really a good analogy of life. We want life to be fair, right? I want life to be fair, and I want to win. Now, do you think that's a good statement? That I want life to be fair? You think I should want life to be fair, and should I want to win? Should I desire those two things? I say yes. Because when I look at Jesus and the way he talks, he says things a lot like, you know, this thing of fairness and justice seems to be a pretty important thing. And injustice is really bad and evil. And so it's good to want to be fair. Also, what you see in Jesus' teachings is that he says things like, you want to be first? You want to be the greatest? How about that? Hey, you want to, and Paul says, now finish the race. Run the race so you can what? Win, right? So what do you do with that? What I've found, though, is we humans all have this desire to have justice. And we find ourselves, because of that, we keep score. We have scorecards. We may be very discreet in how we hold them and how we hide them. But what you'll find is keeping score is extremely exhausting as a human. And because your justice is not true justice, it's distorted justice, right? And in that way, you have to understand that goes for everybody. Now, when we voted, I had the plan to beat the crowd, right? And my plan failed, and I waited 2 hours in the cold. By the time I got into this, I timed it. It was 30 seconds to every person. I had plenty of time to practice how long it's going to take me. And I finally got in there after 2 hours. And I'm thinking Debbie is going to go out as soon as I get back. And Debbie has had her ankle fused and just replaced her knee. And she cannot stand for long periods of time. And so this isn't going to work. So I talked to the worker. I said, hey, my wife can't stand in line this long. And she goes, oh, no, no. This is why we have this ramp right here. Come on down. It's like Disneyland. We put you right in. I said, no, I insist. You tell her, do not stand in line. So I went home and I told Debbie, and Debbie did just what I thought. I'm standing in line. I'm not gonna do that. You know, if anybody knows Debbie, they know that's what she said. But I talk her into this. because she knows she'll be paying the price. She stays 2 hours in line. So she goes in there, and the gal sees me, remembers her, says, hey, yeah, great, great, come on in here. And she scoots her in front of this other lady, and she says, lady, hey, do you mind, I'm going to have her move, step right here. She says, she can't stand in line that long. And the lady turned to Debbie and said, well, I just stood in line for 2 hours. And Debbie went, whoosh, right? And Tim Keller talks about this place of when we have injustice or something, or we usually find anger, or we sense injustice. And we have a tendency of clamming up or blowing up. Guess what Debbie did? Clammed up. She spent her time thinking, feeling embarrassed, questioning her choice, trying to make sense why this was so important for this lady to gain 30 seconds, and trying to just hold it together and fight off things. Now, she texted me, and I had a slightly different response. It was closer to the blow-up section, right? I said things like, what kind of, I didn't say it quite that bad, but I was just, this is just gal's mean, she's wrong, this is, you know, I just had a good time. I sat for probably for a couple hours, and I came up with the most amazing, witty, humble ways of putting this woman in her place in line, right? Right? And so we're at this place, isn't it? You guys even understand that. Like, even right now, you're at a spot that some of you are like, give me your name. Don't you? You know, you're already like, some of you are thinking, why didn't she work? Have a cane. She should have had a pass. Or I don't know what you're thinking. But the reality is that we have this response on our justice card. Right? Now, what's difficult about this is when, you know, we get to a place where, if you realize in this scene, is that all three people had their response. That lady could have easily gone home and said, you won't believe what happened to me. I waited in line for 2 hours, and this lady without a cane, who just got dropped off, butted right in front of me. And I just had to tell her, this isn't right. This is how we live in this world. And what I've noticed, though, is that it's injustice, or a place that you feel like someone has hurt, done something wrong against you. Do you notice it really gets amplified when it's your brothers and sisters in Christ? Have you noticed how much higher that is? Like, have you ever had someone flip you off for driving slightly badly or making a mistake, right? Sometimes flipping off for an intense period of time and honking the horn and looking at you with their face growling, right? See, when those things happen, I go see these kind of things. They need Jesus, right? But no, if I'm pulling out of the parking lot and I cut off Caleb Chow and he does that to me, it's a little different story, right? If Debbie turns around in that voting line and says, Susan, that's you, Susan Tarr, I didn't know you thought that way about me, right? That's a different story. Why is it a different story? What's the difference? Why is that so different than the other? It's because we know what the rules are. We've agreed, haven't we, of what it is that we should and shouldn't do? Don't we know we're supposed to bless and all these things? So we have this standard in which we go, yeah. You know, and as I look at this, as I realize that as Debbie and I got home, we recognize that, you know, we think, as we prayed about it, I think she was wrong, and then we were able to forgive her, but it was a ride. You know, we score moments in our life. And sometimes I find myself in places in which that I'm just spending a lot of time, a lot of energy, trying to decide what's wrong, what's right. We all get our injustice buttons pushed. Now, our Christian brothers and sisters, this is really hard, you know. But we have to understand that Jesus lived in the same world as our model as king, and he showed us. His mark was being treated unfairly, and the whole time he loved and was unshaken because he didn't have my sense of justice. He had God's sense of justice. And so we're going to look at a passage in which that talks about this, a parable. And it kind of leads up to this point that this parable has lots of parables in Matthew 18, where it's talking about the kingdom of God's like this. It's talking about being like a child. It's talking about going after the one who strays. It's all about this compassionate Jesus. And then it talks about in church discipline in this place of how do you help someone turn to receive the mercy and reconciliation they need. And so Peter's listening and he's thinking to himself, like, how far do I have to go on this, right? And so he starts out this passage. You want to turn there. It's Matthew 18, 21 through 35. And as we go through this, we're just going to kind of talk it through as we go through. So put yourself into thinking this parable as Jesus is talking about it in this context. It says, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother and sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Now, this is not what Peter expected. In fact, he kind of went high. He was thinking probably back in the Old Testament when Amos, in chapters 1 and 2, it talks about this place of you have one infraction, second infraction, third infraction, fourth infraction, punishment comes, right? And so he's thinking, okay, four, I'm going to go up to seven, right? It's a perfect number. It's all works out great. So he begins doing that. Completion, this is what we have to do. And Jesus comes through and says, no, no, 77, which means quit trying to count. When you try to count, was it 76 or 7? You've lost your life. In other words, the place is keep forgiving no matter what. And it says, then he goes into this place where he talks about the kingdom. He says this, he goes, therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all he had be sold to repay the debt. Now, as you think about this, is to give you an understanding of what amount we're talking about, this 10,000 bags of gold, it means basically, you define it, most scholars would say gazillion. I mean, it's like the idea would be it's immeasurable. In fact, if you played it out according to every way that you look at the money system and how it's written, it would be about 6 million days of work or 200,000 years of work. or maybe you put it another way, $3 billion, right? And in 26, it says, at this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything, which he was very clear he was just in pain. He knew, everybody knew there was no payback for this. There's no possible way this could be paid back. The servant's master took pity on him. In the Greek here, it says, it was down this place, this word that they use for your bowels, the place down in your gut. He felt compassion and was moved. And he canceled the debt and let him go. All right. So in verse 28, it says, but when the servant had went out, he found his fellow servant who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell on his knees and begged him, be patient with me, and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged, and they went and told their master everything that had happened. Now, understand the ratio here. It's like $3 billion to $5,000, or you put it down to a place you can understand it. He gave him $1 million, paid off the debt in full with no, just completely for him. And he went out to his friend who owed him $1.70 and shook him and said, you're paying me for this, and refused to give mercy. Verse 32, he says, and then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? And in his anger, the master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how your Heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you are forgiven, unless you forgive your brother and sisters from your heart. Now, the first thing I want to say is this is a parable. It's not an allegory. An allegory would say, oh, let's follow this. Jesus sold people and children into slavery. And if it's an allegory, you start following every part of that thing. Parables are not for allegories. They're taking a rough human example and making one primary clear point primarily. There's some things around that, but that's what a parable is. You have to read a parable that way. You can't read it as an allegory. You know, and so, but the thing about this is that we do see this ending statement of after this is all done, which is a little alarming. Now, here's what we take away from this. This is the point. We have a king who is marked by compassion, mercy, and forgiveness. We have a king that sees our inability to pay and internally is moved with compassion towards us and takes the hit. Our king is a king of justice, and his justice is displayed by mercy of actually paying our debt, taking the cost, right? And of course, what's interesting, see, our justice is if you got a $3 billion debt, you owe. You just don't let it go. If you've sinned up $3 billion, there's a price to pay. Let's get real here. That's our justice. All right? That's what we get mad at. We want justice. What Jesus gets mad at, if you parallel this in the parable, is that the people who he received his mercy refused to give it on to the people that owed him. That's our king. That's how God thinks. That's how Jesus thinks. Now, as we look at this, is that we see this response that where Jesus says, okay, Peter, he's saying this, you want to help me forgive? Why do you do this? Why do you forgive so much? It's because this is what you've been forgiven. Now show mercy, right? And so as we look at this, there's this searing statement at the end that is away from the parable where Jesus is comparing it and says, this is the way the Father will treat you unless you forgive your brothers. And I love that it says you can't get away with anything from the heart. Not like, oh yeah, I forgive you. No, really, release and forgive people for the things that have come against you. Now, as we take this in, it's just Jesus, our King, is so merciful and just. Now, this is so important to understand. We can come to him with the darkest sin, multiple sins on top of each other, all the way through, and he looks at us and he looks at us, and when we say, I can't pay this, I need your help, he quickly just forgives the debt, right? How does he do that? He does it because he took the debt, right? His mercy is just. So when you look at this verse, it's so familiar that John writes, he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to purify from all unrighteousness. So it's not like, oh, I'll give it for you, but no, it's this just response of mercy, and it transforms us. Our justice is keeping score. They deserve that. They've crossed the line. They've gone too far. That's it. Not anymore. I've reached my 7. We're on number 8. I mean, we think that way because what we want to do, when can I stop loving this person this way? When can I stop giving mercy? And Jesus says, you don't. When we trust our own perspective, even as followers of Jesus, and say, I will trust my perspective on justice, here's what we'll end up being. We'll be score-keeping people who are always mad and can't see the beauty around us. We'll just be grinding on, did I do that right? Did they do that right? Did they do it right? How do they owe me there? And we're in a system and it's not going to work. We're in a world of evil and injustice. And I'm sinful and you're sinful. And we're constantly collecting debts on those things. And it's so exhausting when we demand people be held accountable for something they've done. Being a judge is really hard. It's really hard on you. Not just them, but on you. But what Jesus is offering here is like mercy. Not just one time, always just mercy. You know, I just want to say for anybody here who has never come to Jesus in a way that has said, I've been trying to be a good for a long time. I've been trying to not do these bad things. And I just can't get this paid off. Everybody's there. You're just coming into reality. And what I want you to know, if you've not received Jesus today, you can walk right into him and say, here's all my debt. Would you cancel it? And he will. And he'll bring you into his kingdom. And it's amazing. Many of us here and online say, I know that. I've experienced that, right? You can think back, you know, of the things that you've done. You think back of your heart. You can see those things and you realize, this has been canceled. I've received undeserved favor here. And God wants us to be at the place where we begin actually just living in that spot where we can just receive mercy. Still call sin, sin, but not shove it. You know, not hide it, but live in this place of mercy and grace. I mean, it's just this, it's like a stream that we live in. It's like this whole understanding of mercy and grace. It's this place of this prayer takes us into the kingdom and keeps us in the river of mercy, because this is where God is just constantly reminding us and giving us things we don't deserve. And it's justice in God's kingdom. So here's the thing. Receive mercy. You know? Take it in. When God offers it, take it in. And give mercy. And the two are directly connected. I mean, you remember the Lord's Prayer? It's a daily prayer, right? Forgive us our debts. As the connection, as we have forgiven our debtors. That's freedom. We get to forgive our debtors and we get to forgive and we get to experience this forgiveness of our debts. This is a daily prayer. We just live in this. Now, later in that, after he talks about the Lord's Prayer and explain that, he goes and says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others for the sin, your Father will not forgive you. The two of mercy. This is mercy and justice in God's kingdom. Ephesians says, get rid of all bitterness, rage. You guys know that one? Anger, brawling, slander. That's the blow up. Every form of malice. Be kind, compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. Look, puts it this way, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. good measure, pressed down. Now, we always think about this as finances, right? We forget the context of this verse. It works for finances, but it's talking about this place of releasing and giving mercy and giving generously to people of things that they don't even deserve. And he goes on to say, if that happens, it'll be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap, for the measure that you use is a measure, will be measured to you. And the measure that is clear in this parable is mercy. Receiving mercy and giving mercy. Not pretending there's not hurt, not deciding if there's sin or not. That's not it. We're talking about living the truth of that. But what do you do with that? You do what God did for you. You forgive. You give mercy. So, God wants you to receive mercy. And as you give mercy, guess what? It pours back on you. That is the justice and the mercy of the kingdom. And that's what we have to live by. But if we choose to live by our own scorecard, we will live in bondage. And we will experience pain. And we won't be able to see things around us well. This is not easy, but it doesn't make it not true. The good thing is, even when we're struggling to do this, guess what? We have a God of mercy when we don't. Just get back in the stream, right? And so, the worship team, don't come up yet. I'm going to have you come up when we start praying so you can relax for a second. Let's just close with kind of just the challenge. Just for yourself, for you to be able to move closer to Jesus and experience all that the King Jesus is, what I would just say is understand your need for mercy all the time. You know? And just understand that it's there for you, and God loves to give it to you. He paid a big price so you could receive it. Take it. And receive God's forgiveness and live in that grace. Let it be a spot that you just kind of live by this prayer of that when you mess up, you just tell him so he can quickly just, you can experience what he's done on the cross, that we can actually experience his forgiveness and his purification, clean our hearts so we can connect and see clearly and not be blinded by the residue of sin. And then how do you move other people towards Jesus with this? And this is the thing that the parable shows so well, is just, first off, be the receiver of mercy. If you want to do well at quit being so judgmental and harsh and keeping score, the sign of you doing that is showing you have not received, you need to receive more mercy. You need to understand the forgiveness that God has given you at a deeper level. And so what I would say in that is that be increasingly aware of God's mercy. Be a person who just thinks back on what God has done that you don't deserve, about God's blessing in this evil world that he's come and done these things. And then also just be this person that actually throws away your justice scorecard. Just quit keeping score, right? Ask God to show you how to do this. Your part is to forgive and show mercy as God has forgiven you. Be kind and compassionate.